for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.
Sunday morning, May the 25th, 1986. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook is the minister of the morning.
Thank you, Lord.
Brother Tommy.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you for the glory of the Lord to flow through you, the power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen,
to
Lord.
Through the words of life.
Yes, Father.
We thank you for it. We pray strength and health into this mind and
Amen.
Into this body.
Yes,
the
Lord.
Lord.
Yes,
quickened
Lord.
By the power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
We thank you for the revelation of your word that comes forth. We thank you for the anointing that rests upon it.
Thank
we
you,
thank
Lord.
You for the victory.
Yes, Lord.
And we praise you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise Amen. The Lord. Well, let's stand together. Can we do it? Hallelujah. Dear Lord, we do bless you again today, Father. We thank you for this day. This is a beautiful day you've made, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the life that's within us, Lord. We thank you for that Christ lives within us, Lord. Lord, we're so glad that we can sup with you and you can sup with us, Lord. And you said you would come into us and you're in us today, Lord. And God, we just pray that you'll continually, Lord, come in us and open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts, Lord. Give us understanding. You said with all you're getting, get understanding. And Lord, give us understanding by the Holy Spirit, Lord. Oh, Father, we're thankful. We're thankful for everything, Lord. We thank you for this camp meeting. We thank you, Lord, for the ministries and the people, Lord, that have come. And more than that, Lord, we thank you that you're here and you're among us, Lord. And we bless you. And everybody said, amen and amen. Thank you, Bill. Praise the Lord. Let's go to God's Word. Turn today with me to the book of Hosea. The book of Hosea in the Scriptures. Hosea chapter 12. I want to lay a foundation for a while, if I can, for a few minutes. How many believe that God has prophets today?
Amen.
Amen. We need prophets. We need apostles. We need teachers, shepherds, and evangelists. And in Hosea, and you need to pray for the ministry, brethren. In Hosea chapter 12, in chapter 12 of Hosea, verse 13, and by a prophet the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. Well, how many know Israel today is the church? God's people. And how many know a lot of God's people still in Egypt? They're in the world. What's Egypt? What's the world? It's the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. Can you say amen? And by a prophet the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. And by a prophet was he, Israel, preserved. Now, our prophet today, his name is Jesus. And Jesus is bringing us out of the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And if we listen and take heed to him, Jesus the prophet will preserve us. Amen. Now, look in chapter 11, verse 1. When Israel was a child, when Israel was young, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. And God's calling his son out, isn't he? Unto himself. He brought us out that he might bring us in, Deuteronomy says. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now turn with me to another scripture, 2 Chronicles 20:20. This is a 2020 vision scripture. 2 Chronicles 20:20. I'm going to go kind of fast again today. Look in this verse, 2 Chronicles 20:20, down in the middle part of it. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets. Now notice, not just a prophet, but his prophets, plural. Amen? Some people want to put a prophet in their back pocket, or try to pay one off just to do what they want. But how many know you can't do that? But notice, he said, believe his prophets. We need more than one prophet. We need many prophets. We need to hear many prophets of the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen. So shall you, church, be prosper, rather, if you believe the prophets. Now, let's turn that around. If we do not believe the prophets, we shall not prosper.
Now turn to 2 Chronicles 36, and I'm going to show you here is a case where people did not prosper. How many has ever seen people that never got healed? I'm going to show you a case right here. And of course, if they repent, they can be healed. But 2 Chronicles 36, and we want to look at verse 15. And the Lord God of their father sent to them, to his people, by his messengers, rising up earlier betimes and sending because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. Do you believe you're the dwelling place today? Yes. But notice this. They, number one, they mocked the messengers of God. That's God's people. Two, they despised his words. And three, they misused, or they actually scoffed here. They misused, though, his prophets until, that's a time word, until the wrath of the Lord rose against his people till there was no remedy. The word remedy means no healing. Amen. And so those who mock, those who despise, and those who misuse the prophets can cut off their healing. Amen. And would you say they don't prosper if that happens? Amen. Look at the word remedy. Turn to Proverbs a minute, 29:1. Let's turn there. Look at this word remedy. Hallelujah. Used to hear that word a lot when I was younger. In Proverbs 29 and verse 1. Praise the Lord. Notice the scripture. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck. Your neck is your will. Shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without what? Remedy. Okay, now turn with me to another scripture. Go to Matthew 10. Let's see what Jesus said about the prophets. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10. Praise the Lord. We want to look at verse 40. Matthew 10, 40. He that receiveth you, Jesus said, receiveth me. Turn that around. He that doesn't receive you will not receive me. And he that receives me, Jesus said, receives him, that's the Father, that sent me. So if we reject Jesus, we reject the Father. Isn't that right? And he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. That is a natural reward and that is a spiritual reward. One time there was a prophet walking by and a woman in the Old Testament said, I perceive this is a holy man of God. It was Elisha. And they built him a room, put him a light there and a bed and all, and so he could have a place to rest. And you remember he called her and he said, about this time next season, you're going to have a child. And she had one. Amen? They reaped a prophet's reward. And you know what happened? That child died and the same man brought him back to life. Hallelujah. So it pays to receive the prophets in the name of the Lord. Amen. Now, turn to James. James, remember we're laying a foundation here. Turn to James, chapter 5. Now, I know we have many going throughout the land saying they're prophets. And God knows who the real prophets are. But I'll tell you, the real prophets are not loved too much by many, especially in the religious systems. Amen? They've always been hated and despised and rejected by many in the religious system. But in James 5, notice the word of God, brethren. Verse 10. Take my brethren, the prophets. And somebody else said, no, you take them. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord. So a prophet will speak not in his name, but he'll speak in the name and the authority of the Lord, right? Yes. For an example of suffering, affliction, and patience or endurance. So a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord. He's one who suffers affliction. He knows what affliction is. And he knows what endurance is. When others give up and throw in the towel, he keeps going on. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And don't try to be a prophet if God hadn't called you to be a prophet. Amen. Amen. Stay home and mow your lawn. Amen. And have a good time. Don't get involved. Now, turn to another scripture. Turn to Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33. And we want to look at verse 30. Ezekiel 33:30. Also thou son of man, The children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls. Some prophets, I guess they're eating for dinner, I guess, many times. And in the doors of the houses, and they speak one to another, every one to his brother. But look here what they're saying. Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh from the Lord. 31. And they come to thee as the people cometh. They sit before thee as my people. They hear thy words. But, what is it? They will not do them. How many know that's religiosity? Amen. Jesus said, the ones that hear and do not do, when the floods come, what's going to happen? That flood's going to come in that big tide and knock that sandcastle down and sweep it right out to sea. Isn't that right? For with their mouth, here's that religiosity. With their mouth, you know, this is VRG, verbal, religious garbage. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their what? Covetousness. And lo, thou art to them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they will not do them. And then it says, when this comes to pass, lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, turn to the book of Psalms, and I'm going to read this scripture out of the New American. In Psalm 73. What a powerful scripture. And yet we have people today that say deliverance is not real. Amen. Well, how many know we need to get our eyes open and our ears unstopped? There are people hurting today in the land. There are people bound that love Jesus and are filled with the Holy Ghost, but they're bound in some areas of their life. Isn't that right? And I'd be lying to you to tell you that I don't have any bondage. Hallelujah. We're all being saved. Amen. We're all being delivered. If there's anyone perfect in the house, stand up and I'll sit down. Amen. Well, I'll tell you, I'm not. I know my weaknesses, some of them. Sometimes we have a blind side. We can't even see some of them. That's why we need our brethren to point them out to us and help us and say, you have this problem, let me pray for you.
Amen. That's right, brother.
I'll tell you why many ministers have fallen in the past. One simple reason. You want to know what it is? They refuse to submit to their brethren.
Amen.
And if we allow that stinking pride to come in, it'll bring us down to our grave. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Whether we're in the ministry or whether we're not in the ministry.
That's right, brother.
Of course, we're all ministers of God. Not in the fivefold necessarily, but we're all called of God to minister. In Psalm 74, verse 1, O God, you ever said that? Why? O God, why hast thou rejected us forever? Now here is David praying to God. And he's saying, God, why are you rejecting us? He said, why does your anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? Now when God's anger is aroused, I'll tell you what will happen. He will let the enemy loose on you and me. Amen. The powers of darkness will come in on us. And let's face it, they have come in on us in some areas. To be honest. Amen? But, thank God, He is the one that can deliver us.
Yeah.
Remember thy congregation which thou hast purchased of old, which thou hast redeemed to be the tribe of thine inheritance in Mount Zion where thou hast dwelt. Verse 3, turn thy footsteps toward the perpetual ruins. Now look at verse 3. The enemy has damaged everything within the sanctuary. We're talking about this building here? No. We're talking about this building right here. We are the sanctuary of God today, aren't we? We're the dwelling place of God. Now, notice what he says. Thine adversaries have roared in the midst of the meeting place. Where's the meeting place? Again, it's right here. He meets with me. He meets with you. Amen. And the Bible said the righteous are to be as bold as a lion, but yet he's talking about the enemy here, that they're roaring. Amen. Peter said he's as a roaring lion. Right? Now, they have set up their own standards for signs. About the only signs sometimes we see in the church is the way to the restroom and the exit sign. Amen. But Jesus said, these signs shall follow those that believe. Amen? You can't follow, somebody said one time, a parked car. Amen? And you don't... you don't follow signs, but they follow you. They follow the word, don't they? Amen. Now notice what it says here. It seems as if one had lifted up his axe in a forest of trees. How many has ever seen a tornado come through and just rip the trees down? Well, in Isaiah 14, in the New American, he's called the woodcutter. And the woodcutter comes in to cut the trees down. Who's the trees? It's God's people. Amen? And there are trees that are being cut down today. Hallelujah. The enemy has no mercy on you and me. And neither should we have mercy on him. Amen? Hallelujah. Now look at this. And now all its carved work they smashed with hatchet and hammers. That's God's people. They have burned the sanctuary to the ground. How many know there's a false anointing in the land? There's false fire in the land. There's strange fire in the land. And God said, his word says, that right here, they, the enemy, have burned the sanctuaries to the ground. They have defiled the dwelling place of thy name. Where's the dwelling place? Right here. They said in their heart, let us completely subdue them. They have burned all the meeting places of God in the land. We do not see our signs. And many churches can put over their door, we don't have signs. Many individuals can put over their life, we don't exercise or see signs in our life. How many know his signs are real? Amen. There is no longer, look at this now, any prophet. What was the prophet? He was a seer. He was the one that would warn the people, discern what was coming. He didn't wait till it got in the door. He saw it before it came in. And he warned the people of God. Somebody say amen. We need prophets today that will see what God sees. Amen. And warn the people of God. Warn the churches of God. Warn America. Amen. But it's sad to say many don't want to hear the prophets. Hallelujah. But how many know who we hear? We can be warned and we can be prepared. Now, David said in verse 10, how long, O God, will the adversary revile? How long is this going to take place? How long is this going to go on, God? He said in verse 11, why dost thou withdraw thy hand, even thy right hand, from within thy bosom? Destroy them. Now, I don't know if some of you know, but God has a right-hand ministry coming forth. And God's going to draw that ministry out of his heart or out of his bosom. And when that ministry truly stands up in the fullest, now I know there's much overcoming. We're learning to overcome day by day. But when that right-hand ministry truly stands up in the fullest with the authority of God, I want to tell you, brother, this stuff right here is going to stop. Amen? But how many know until we get there, we got to work with what we got? Isn't that right? We got to exercise faith and patience. We got to deliver those areas of our life today that's not like him. Amen? Until that fullness comes. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, turn to the book of Amos. Let's go to the book of Amos. And before I get into Amos, I just want to say something else about a prophet. A prophet is a prophetic voice in the land. He is one who sees. And he is the love gift to the body of Christ. Prophets can make you uncomfortable at times because of the word that they bring. But the prophets see of what God wants them to see. And if we hear, of course, we'll be prepared, we'll be warned. And God raises up prophets mainly when our wall is out of whack. And it's the mercy of God to send prophets to you when your wall is crooked. Right. I said it's the mercy of God. Hallelujah. Now this prophet, Amos, was not a professional prophet. He was a farmer. He was a herdsman. He was a sheep herder. And he was the plumb line that God was sitting down in the middle of his people. And I believe in 1986, God is beginning to raise up not only prophets, but apostles and the other ministries. And he's setting them that spiritual authority down among God's people, not to dominate, not to dictate, not to manipulate, but to warn and to lead and to shepherd and to feed them and to build them up in the things of God. Amen. Now, first of all, look in chapter 3 of Amos. Let's look at Amos here a minute as a prophet. Chapter 3, verse 7. Now, here's a principle. Surely the Lord God will do nothing but or unless he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. That's a powerful statement, isn't it? That the Lord God will do nothing except he reveals that secret to his prophets, his servants. Now, look in chapter 7. Hallelujah. So if you want to know what God is saying, what God's secrets are, you've got to go hear some prophets. And I don't mean follow them around all the country like some people do. God's got his prophets everywhere.
Yes, he does.
Hallelujah. I mean, there are people who travel thousands of miles to follow one person. How many know God didn't want us to do that? You know, I mean, there's a time to go hear people, but you know, you just don't travel all the country, all the world just to hear somebody. Unless the Lord just speaks to you, of course. Chapter 7, verse 7. Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by plumb line. How many know the wall is a system? The religious system. How many know he's going to break the walls down? How many know that Joseph's vine went over the wall? Hallelujah. God's bringing forth a Joseph ministry that's not a creeping vine, but a climbing vine that leaps every wall. And David said, I could walk through a troop and what? Leap over a wall. You got to have the Holy Ghost to do that, don't you? Spiritually speaking. But the walls are coming down. But nevertheless, it said, the Lord stood on this wall made by a plumb line. What's a plumb line? It's to test to see if the wall is what? Straight or crooked. Now, if God looks at our wall today, what's he seeing? Is he seeing a straight, clean life, or is he seeing, you know, one that's half high, half up, and half down? Is it crooked, or is it straight, or what? All right. But remember, he puts the prophets among the people, you see, when their wall is crooked, but it's his mercy. Amen. But notice here it says, he stood on the wall with a plumb line in his hand. The hand speaks to the ministry. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Now notice he asked him what he saw. A prophet sees. He's a seer. And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set. I mean, remember Brother Jack's message the other day on being set.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to bloom where you're planted.
Right.
The reason many can't bloom, they're not planted. And Jesus said, every plant that my Father has not planted shall be rooted or plucked up. Isn't that right? The Bible said God sets the solitary God sets the solitary or the lonely in families. But the rebellious dwell in a dry land. You didn't have anything to do with what natural family you grew up in. Isn't that right? And we don't have a say-so actually where God puts us in the body of Christ. We just obey him. Amen? Hallelujah. That means you can't go to the church of your choice. You go where the Holy Ghost puts you. Amen? Hallelujah. Now notice, he said, I see a plumb line. Then the Lord said, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. And I will not again, I want somebody else's translation here. I will not again pass by them any more. Give me another translation on that.
I will not pass.
Say that again.
I will not be shut.
The door of mercy is shut. Anybody else got another translation on that? All right. All right, now let's look here in Amos now at some things that we want to look at. Let's look at some things that was going on. Conditions while he was prophesying. Turn to chapter 5 of Amos and look at verse 18 through 20. First of all, in chapter 5, verse 18, they were looking for the coming of the Lord. Now, there's nothing wrong with looking for the coming of the Lord. But their lifestyle was one thing and their mouth was saying another thing.
Yes.
Amen? How many know many say that Jesus can come tonight before the service is over, right? Well, how many know Jesus can't come tonight before the service is over? Huh? I'm going to show you in just a minute. In Amos 5:18, woe to you that desire the day of the Lord. Now, he's pronouncing a woe to those that desire that. To what end is it for you, he says? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him and went into his house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him. He said, that's the day of the Lord to you guys. Hallelujah. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark and no brightness in it? And many that are saying, boy, Jesus is going to come and take us, they're not ready for the coming of the Lord. Amen. John said there will be those that will be ashamed when he appears. Now, turn with me to Psalms 110 just a minute. I'm going to show you that Jesus cannot just come in a minute. Now, Jesus is coming. And he's coming within us, and yet he's coming in the air. Amen? But in Psalms 110, brethren, notice God's Word. And that's what we go by. We don't go by our traditions. My tradition was we would fly out of here any time, and I preached it for years. But when the Lord came to me and dealt with my heart and began to change me, I wasn't too popular after that. Amen? It's the truth. The doors were slammed in my face. I was hated. I was called, branded a false prophet. The finances was cut off, but God sent me to a small group.
Yes, hallelujah.
And God's raising His army up. Amen? And I want to tell you, they're not just all in the big cathedrals and big churches, brother. Some of them are little small groups all around the country.
Yes, hallelujah.
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 And I'm not telling you there's not any in some of those churches. God's going to, I think, bring a lot of people out. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of little lights going up all around the country. Amen?
Yes.
I know many look down on home meetings, but I tell you, God sent me to the homes. He spoke to me to go to the homes. He told me to go to the homes. And I've heard many criticize those who have home meetings. But I'm going to tell you, many things are happening in homes. Thank God. And I believe it's coming back to the homes, too, many times. Amen. Psalms 110, verse 1, the Lord said to my Lord. Jehovah says to Jesus, the Lord said to my Lord, or the Father speaking to the Son, sit thou at my right hand until, there's a time word, isn't there? You, Jesus, you sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies. And his enemies is our enemies. Until I make thine enemies thy footstool. What's the footstool for? It's for the feet. Who's the feet? We're the feet. Paul said Satan must be bruised. That word means crushed under our feet shortly.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Now turn to Hebrews.
Hallelujah.
Hebrews 10:12. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10:12. It said, but this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, that was himself, sat down on the right hand of God. Do you believe he's there today?
Yes.
Yes, sir. From henceforth, expecting something, he's waiting for something, till or until his enemies again be made his footstool. He is waiting, hallelujah, till the enemies are put under the foot. Isn't that right? Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Let's see what the last enemy is here. 1 Corinthians 15. Look in verse 25. For he must reign till, there's that word till again, he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is what?
Death.
And I believe the Lord said to him, sit here, Jesus. You stay here at the right hand until thine enemies be made your footstool. Or until they're completely put under feet. Now let's go look at the scripture I quoted a while ago. Romans 16. Let's see it in the scripture.
Glory to God, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Romans 16.
Hallelujah.
Romans 16, verse 20.
Hallelujah.
And the God of peace shall bruise or crush Satan under your feet shortly. Who's Paul speaking to? The church. He's the head. We are the feet. Amen. Hallelujah. And how many know in Genesis 3:15 it said the seed of the woman will bruise or crush his head, his controlling factor. And he'll bruise our what? The heel is the lowest part of your body. It's your walk life, and that's what he's after. And also the heel speaks of iniquity. Go back to yesterday's message on that. How many know we've got to put away iniquity? Amen? All right, now, we've seen that Jesus cannot just come in a minute. Now turn to another scripture. In Acts, I want to show you again. In Acts 3, I do expect the coming of the Lord, and I believe in the coming of the Lord. But I tell you what, unless he comes in us, we'll truly not be prepared when he comes out there. Amen. Remember this, when he shall appear, we're going to be what? Like him, for we're going to see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. And Christ, the hope of glory, has got to come in us. We can't be like him unless he continually comes in us and changes us. Amen. All right. Now, Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which was preached unto you, whom the heaven must. I mean, oh, you must be born again. Paul said we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. And right here he said whom the heaven must receive or retain Until there's a time word, the times of restoration or restitution of what? All things. The heavens must retain him, receive him until the restoration of all things. Amen. Which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets. Now turn back to James 5. Praise you, Father. James chapter 5. And look in verse 5 through 7. James 5, we'll start with verse 7. James 5:7. Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until, time work. Until what? He receives the early and latter rain. Amen? And be you also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, I know many say they're going in the first load. And many have thought that the first load would have already happened, but it hadn't happened yet. Isn't that right? But instead of thinking about going up, many are going to come to a place where they're going to, when they find out the truth, I think they'll blow up. And some might throw up, but praise God, he said grow up. Amen? Let's go back to Amos. Better get off that. Go to Amos chapter 4. Hallelujah. But I certainly believe in the coming of the Lord, but I believe it's going to be in his time, not in man's time. Well, I can't go to Amos 4 yet. I got to go back to Matthew. Thank you, Lord. Matthew 24. Let's look at one more scripture. Then we'll go to Amos. Matthew 24, 29, I believe it is. Let's see what Jesus said. Now, if you get in Matthew 24, it'll get you in trouble with a religious system sometime. Because, we're already gone. They leave it all to the Jews. And I know the Jews have a place in Bible prophecy, and we don't look down on the Jews at all as far as looking down on them. But God's going to bring in a remnant of those people in too. But let's look here in verse 29. Jesus said, immediately after the tribulation. Now, are we going to believe Jesus' word or are we going to believe man's word? Amen. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then... Not until. And then shall appear what? The sign. Go back up to verse 3 a minute. Look back in verse 3. As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age. He never answers that one question about the sign till he gets down here. And in verse 29, he's after the tribulation of those days, he says, and then in verse 30, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man. Now, I believe that's a message in itself, which we won't get into, in heaven. And then shall all of the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see. It is not a secret coming right here, is it, brethren? The world will know when Jesus comes literally. The only secret coming is Christ coming in you and within me. But when he comes out there, it is nothing secret about it. The whole world will know it. Because of the death and the destruction and things that will take place in the day of the Lord. But notice, they shall see the Son of Man coming in clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his messengers, his angels, with a great sound of a trumpet. Well, that's what Paul said. That's what Zephaniah said. That's what Joel said. Amen? That's what others said in the scriptures. And they, the messengers, the angels, shall gather together his elect, his chosen. That word is the same Greek word all the way through the New Testament. I don't see how in the world they can apply it to anybody else except God's people who love Jesus. Amen? And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now turn to Mark. Mark's a little different here, isn't it? Mark 13. Mark 13. Look in verse 27. Then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his who? His chosen. From the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Amen. Now turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Now these scriptures are just flowing here now. Ephesians 1. Hallelujah. Verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together. How many know unto him shall the gathering of the people be? Hallelujah. That he might gather together in one, brethren. Look at this. All things where? In Christ. The dead in Christ shall rise what? First. And I'm not just talking about those in the graves. I know there are people that have died in Christ. But there's also people living in Christ. But he said, all things in Christ. Christ is the anointed one. Those that live in the Spirit. Amen. Both which are where? In heaven, and which are on earth. And they're in him. They're in Christ. Amen. Now turn to Luke 20. Oh, glory to God. Luke 20. 35. It says, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that age, or that world, and the resurrection from the dead. Now notice he said they've got to be worthy. Amen. And the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor given in marriage, neither can they die any more, for they are equal to the angels. How many know that in the angel rankings there is different ranks? You don't put all the angels in the same rank. They're not all in the same ballpark. And in the resurrection, how many know there's going to be a difference too? Every man in his own order. And that word order, it means rank. His battalion, his group. It's a military word. Well, how many know we're in the army? And every man is going to, you know, can be in a different order, rank. Amen. But notice what he says here. Neither can they die anymore, for they are equal to the angels, and are the sons. R says children. But it's weos. I mean, the Father said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You ever remember that? And we know Paul said creation's waiting and groaning for the manifestation of what? Sons of God. That's the word we're looking at right here. And all the sons of God. What are we dealing with? We're dealing with the resurrection. Amen. Neither can they die anymore. They are equal to the angels and all the sons of God, being the sons of the resurrection. How many know we got to grow up? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. So there's a real gathering. Now turn to Psalms 50 just a minute. Psalms 50. Hallelujah. Psalms 50. In Psalms 50, verse 5, listen to what the Lord says. I'm going to give you this scripture and one of them, and we're going back to Amos. Gather my saints together unto me. I mean, we can come together and not be together. But it's a command. Gather my saints together unto me. Right? Those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice, that which will cost you everything, especially your flesh, right? Now turn to 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1. 2 Thessalonians 2, 1. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. 2 Thessalonians 2, 1. And what did Paul say? He said, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming, the parousia. The word parousia means a presence. But yet you can see it in other men in the scriptures. It was actually a bodily presence when they would come into a particular church or a place where the word was used. But now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him. Amen. Unto Him. Now, I said I was just going to give you one more, but I'm not. I'm going to give you two more. Turn to Matthew 13. Now I need to find this scripture. Somebody might have to help me. Praise the Lord. Now, look in verse 36. Let me show you that not all the multitude wants to hear the kingdom. I mean, no, that's true. In verse 36, then Jesus sent the multitude away. That's the crowd. And went into the house. The house speaks of a local fellowship. And his disciples, and a disciple, of course, is one who is a learner. He's one who is under God's discipline. His disciples came to him saying, declare to us the parable of the tares of the field. What's that? That's a hunger. We want to know what you're talking about when you talk about the tares of the field. Right? All right. Verse 38, he said, the field is the world. Right? All right, now come back to verse 24, though. Let's go back to verse 24. He puts this parable forth, and remember this. There's nothing wrong with the seed. The seed's the word. Isn't that right? There's nothing wrong with the seed. There's nothing wrong with the sower, that's Jesus. But there's something wrong with the soil, that's you and me. And in verse 25, he said, while men slept, they're still sleeping. His enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, among God's people. Now, who sowed the tares? Now, that can be among us out here, but how many know that can also be within us? Amen? And notice he went his way. But when the blade was sprung up, they brought forth fruit. Then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then have it tares? He said to them, an enemy have done this. The servant said to him, will thou then that we go up and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you're going to root up the wheat with them. Amen. Now, look at verse 30, very important verse. Let both the tares and the wheat, and believe me, the wheat's coming to its fullness, so is the tares coming to its fullness. One is Christ. One is Antichrist. One looked like the real, but in the time of harvest, you can tell the difference. Amen? Let both grow together until, there's the word again, time word, the harvest. And in the time of harvest, the Lord said, I will say to the reapers. Who's the reapers? It's the messengers, the angels. Gather ye together. What's the next word? Is first?
Yes.
Amen. Gather first the what? Tares, and bind them in bundles and burn them and gather the wheat into my garner. Who's going to be gathered first? The tares. All right, now. Good. Let's go a little further down in this chapter here. Let me find there's another verse down here. Go to verse 47. Praise the Lord. Verse 47. The kingdom, again, he said, is like to a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to the shore, sat down and gathered the good into the vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of this age, or the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked or the evil from where? Among who? The just. Did you hear that? And shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now turn to Matthew 24. In Matthew 24, verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. As it was in the days of Noah, it's going to be like that when Jesus comes. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. And isn't man doing the same thing? Until the day that Noah entered the ark. Noah entered 7 days before the flood. And God shut the door, didn't he? And how many know God's bringing the people into his ark? Into him. Amen. Judgment's coming. Destruction's coming. And knew not until the flood came and what? What did the flood do? It took who? Who's them? The tares, the wicked. Took them all away. Did you hear that? So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. What does that mean? There's going to be another crowd taken. You don't want to be on that load. That's the wrong load. Amen. Amen. Then shall two be in the field. The one shall be what? You don't want to be in that. You don't want to be that one. The other shall be? You be that one. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken. The other left. Watch therefore, for you know not when, what hour your Lord doth come. You don't want to be in the crowd that's taken, because we're taken to judgment. Now turn to Luke 17. I got to give you one more scripture here. We got to get back to Amos here in a minute. Boy, Luke 17. I'm enjoying this though. Hallelujah. This is our life. In Luke 17, look in verse 26. I'm going to read from the New American. Is that all right? Anybody got NIV here today? Could I borrow it just a minute? I'll read from the NIV. I'll read from the King James and I want to use one verse at the bottom. Okay, I said Luke what? Luke 17, 26. Well, hang on, let me get over there in my Bible. Praise the Lord. Okay, I'll read until I get to the end. I'm going to use the NIV in our scripture. Okay, verse 26. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives. They were giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the floods came and did what? Destroyed who? The tares, the wicked. And notice all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot. Now this is where we really see America. Well, we see America in both these scriptures, but look here. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, and they builded. Amen? The same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone. When did it do that? When he left Sodom, when the angels drug him out. Amen? Took him out. I mean, no, the angels had a problem there with him. Notice, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed who? Who's them? The wicked. The Sodomites. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. What does that mean? There's going to be another destruction, isn't there? There's going to be some more fire and brimstone. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and the stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. I mean, no, you better not get too concerned for what you have in the natural. And he that is in the field, let him not likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. What did she do? She looked back. Her heart was there. Isn't that right? And of course, she became a pillar of salt. Whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. That's your soul. Verse 34, I tell you in that night there shall be two men, look at this now, two men where? In one bed, the one shall be taken, the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken, the other left. How many know there's two men in the Bible? Now, we could look at this in the natural, two actual men or two actual women. But how many know there's an old man and a new man also in the earth? In the earth is Adam and there's Christ coming into people, isn't that right? There's also two women. There's a true church and there's a harlot church. But there's two also natural women. So you can look at it several ways. All right, now look here. He said, two women shall be grinding together. One shall be taken, the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken, the other left. Now look at verse 37. Everybody see that? All right. Now notice here. They answered and said unto him, where, Lord? Where are they going to be taken? He said to them, wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. Anybody got a marginal reference of vultures? All right, listen to the NIV what it says. Where, Lord? They asked. He replied, where there is a dead body, there the vultures will gather. And Jesus is not dead. His body is not dead, but these that are taken into death. Amen? And we're not feeding on death, we're feeding on life. You don't want to be in the crowd that's taken. Amen? Amen. And that word there, where I read here in this scripture, dead body, is the same word for the corpse of John the Baptist. Amen, sister? Thank you very much. Now let's go back to Amos. Sorry we haven't got too much into Amos yet, but got a few more minutes. Turn back to Amos. We want to look in chapter 4, verse 4. Now, here we see the people were very religious. Amen? Come to Bethel. What's Bethel? The house of God. And transgress. That's what many do. At Gilgal. Gilgal means going in circles. You ever done that? Multiply transgression. Well, and bring your sacrifices. Make sure you bring your sacrifices. You know, you can transgress and you can go in circles, but bring your sacrifices every morning. And your tithes after 3 years. But I think another translation says after three days. Anybody got 3 days in another translation? Okay. Okay. So they were very religious. They paid their tithes. They didn't go swimming on the Sabbath, and they didn't do their washing. But they were religious. They paid their tithes. Amen? Now, look in chapter 6, verse 3, and we see here there was luxury everywhere. Now here, God showed me it was Laodicea. Chapter 6, verse 3. Ye that put far away the evil day. It's luxury everywhere. It's an affluent society we're going to see. You know, come test drive the new Continental or whatever. They had it. And there's nothing wrong with a Continental if you got one. I'm just using it for an expression. You may have five of them. You know, I don't know. But ye that put far away the evil day and cause a seat of violence to come near. That lie. Now here's the people at ease. Lie upon what? The beds of what? Ivory. And stretch themselves upon their couches, eat the lambs out of the flock. They got the best food and the calves out of the midst of the stall. They chant to the sound of the viol and invent to themselves instruments of music. They drink wine in bowls, anoint themselves with the chief ointments. But this kind of people right here that's lazy and are at ease, they're not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. Who has ever said it about Joseph? Joseph wasn't too popular, was he? Joseph was the 11th son. And Joseph and 11 is a number of confusion. And brother, when you have dreams from God, the first thing he'll do is confuse you. And he told his brethren, and it confused them, and they put him in the pit. Amen. They wouldn't grieve for him. They were glad he was in the pit. And this people right here have it made in the natural, but they're not grieved. What does that mean? That means they're concerned for only number one. They don't care if others are hurting. Can you say amen? Amen. Now look in chapter 8, verse 5. We also see that business was also great. We said there was luxury. The business was great. But look at their motive in chapter 8, verse 5. How would you like to have been Amos prophesying of this bunch? Huh? I believe I took a continental going to Nebraska or someplace. Chapter 8, verse 5, saying, when will the new moon be gone that we may sell corn and the Sabbath? We can't wait till the Sabbath gets over. That we may set forth the wheat, making the bushel or the ephah small, and the shekel or the silver great, falsifying the balances by deceit. Now, there's nothing wrong with being in business. But these people couldn't wait till the Sabbath was over. They were in the synagogue on the Sabbath. But they couldn't wait till the Sabbath was over to cheat the people. And you know, God's still against cheaters who claim to be Christians. Amen? And so, can you see why God set this man down in the midst of them? Their walls out of whack. Of course, they were very scrupulous about the holy days. As I said, they would meet on the Sabbath. They would pay their tithes. They wouldn't go swimming on the Sabbath or whatever. Mow the lawn. Chapter 8, verse 11. Look at this now. They refused to hear God. They refused to hear God. How many know there are many do not want to hear the prophets? Huh? You know why? The tradition says that isn't true. What he's saying or she's saying. Amen? Chapter 8, verse 11. Time to throw our traditions out the window and believe what God says. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine where? In the land. It'll be in your land, in my land, if we don't hear. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing, brethren, the words of the Lord. That's the famine he's talking about. And they shall wonder, those that do not hear, from sea to sea. That's from pillar to post, from an evangelist to evangelist, from convention to convention. Amen. From the north to the east, or from Florida to Canada, you call it what you want to. They shall run to and fro seeking the word of the Lord, but they're not going to find it. Why? Because they won't hear. Two, they won't straighten up their wall. Three, they want to kill the prophet. And God said, no, you'll reap a famine. That we hear. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, look at the deception. Look in chapter 9, verse 8. Look at chapter 9, verse 8. Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are upon the sinful kingdom. Destroy it from off the face of the earth, a saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, saith the Lord. For lo, I will command, I will sift the house of Israel among all nations. How many know God's sifting the church? And we're not being sifted, brother. We're not doing anything for God. Sorry to hear. Amen. But like as corn is sifted, notice, in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. Verse 10, look at this. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us. I mean, no, that's deception. Hallelujah. And we have to be blind if we think God's not going to judge our nation. Unless it repents and turns back to God. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, look at God's response here. Chapter 5, just a minute. I want to preach 10 more minutes, Lord willing. Chapter 5, verse 21. Listen to what God said to them, to this religious bunch of people, whom he sent his prophet to. God said, I hate, I despise your feast days. I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beast. That'd be quite a teaching if you go and all those offerings. Take thou away from me the noise of your songs. God said, I don't want to hear your songs anymore. How many know he wants your heart right? He wants your walk life right. For I will not hear the melody of the vials, but let judgment run down as water. and righteousness as a mighty stream. God said, you start praying. You start crying out to me. Let the tears run down your face. Let me see a change of heart. And they can see that. Hallelujah. I wonder what God would say to us. Amen. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen. And I can hear this prophet coming and saying to this people, you can't fire me because you didn't hire me. Amen. A lot of places you can get fired. Isn't that right? Now, let's look at a few conditions why God was rejecting Israel here in the book of Amos. Look in chapter 2 and verse 7. Chapter 2, verse 7. That pant after the dust of the earth on the head of the poor, turn aside the way of the meek, and a man and his father, a man and his father, notice this, will go in unto the same maid to profane my holy name. Now, you can take that in the natural with a woman, or you can take it with a harlot. How many know fathers are still taking their sons into the harlot? Amen. Sexual promiscuity, you could call this, I suppose. How many know in 1 Corinthians 5, the same thing happened. A man won his father's wife. And he was living in sin among the church, and the church had was doing nothing about it. And Paul said, when you're gathered together in the name of Jesus, in the power of the Lord, with my spirit, he said, give that one to Satan, that his body be destroyed, but his spirit be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. If a man has known Jesus, and brother, he gets hit and Satan hits him, he's going to die. He's got incense. He's going to repent and turn back to God. Isn't that right? And God said, you don't judge those without the church. You judge those within the church. Amen. Chapter 2, verse 12. Loose living. Chapter 2, verse 12. How many know the party's over? Verse 12. But you gave the Nazarites wine to drink. Now, I know they have a will. They don't have to take it. But the Nazarites were those who made vows to God. Samson had a vow to God, didn't he? And yet he broke every vow. But you gave the Nazarites wine to drink. You look at that two ways, too. And commanded the prophet, saying, prophesy not. We don't want to hear you, prophets. The Eskimos are looking for you. Isn't that right? Amen. Now, look, here's a big one, ladies. And we're not going to pick on you, but I want you to look at it. The women here had gotten sassy and demanding. I used to say fat and demanding, but I don't say that anymore. I didn't say that. In chapter 4, verse 1, they were getting sassy and demanding. In chapter 4, verse 1, how many know there's a Jezebel spirit? And it can be in men and women. But you do see it in some women. Hear this word, you kine, or you cows of Bashan, that are in the mountain of Samaria, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy, which say to their husbands, to their masters, bring and let us drink. Go out and make it and bring it. You can't make it on two jobs, take three. Whatever. Hallelujah. So he had a word for the ladies, didn't he? Now look in chapter 5, and this is prevalent in the land, chapter 5. Here is a spirit that dislikes correction. In Amos chapter 5, verse 10, they hate him that rebuketh in the gate. Now the elder, or the shepherd, we would say, the man of God, was set in the gate. And it says, they hate him that rebukes in the gate, and they abhor him that speaks uprightly. Can you hear a man, an elder saying to a brother, brother, you can't have that woman. She belongs to somebody else. And I can hear the man saying, well, I'll take her anyway. Yeah, but this is your third or fourth or fifth wife. Hello. Amen. Verse 15. Hate the evil, love the good, and establish judgment. Where's the judgment at? In the gate. Hallelujah. But notice, they hate those that rebuke and correct, or they abhor those in the gate. All right. Look in chapter 5, verse 11. Heavy taxation on the poor. Burdened, oppressed. The poor get poorer, the rich gets richer, I suppose, in some places. Verse 11. For as much, therefore, as your treading is upon the poor, Mine says the stone thing is upon the poor. And you take from him burdens of wheat. You have built houses of hewn stone, but God said, how many know we reap what we sow? But you'll not dwell in them. You've planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink wine of them. The way you treated the poor. Amen? Now, look in chapter 6, verse 6. We saw that a while ago, the affliction of Joseph. Look in chapter 8, verse 6, I believe it is. 8, 6. Now, here is financial servitude or financial slavery. I mean, there are people that have money control other people's lives. Right here, you see it. Verse 6. Chapter 8, verse 6. That we may buy the poor for what?
Silver.
And look at this. And the needy for a pair of shoes. We're going to buy them off. And sell the refuse of the wheat. We'll give you a pair of shoes, brother, if you'll come and do what we want you for 2 or 3 weeks. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to give you one scripture. Turn to the last scripture in Zechariah. I'm going to show you that God's against some of the things we've read today. Hallelujah. Zechariah. You believe that Jesus cleansed the temple? I mean, he's going to cleanse it again. You ever get any holy rocks through the mail? Holy water, footprints, handprints. Send me $1,000 for this handprint. How many know that goes on the church? Now, that's not up for... God's going to deal with it. We're not out, you know. But look in chapter 14, verse 21. He said, every pot in Jerusalem and Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and see them. And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite. Where's the Canaanite at? Last scripture in Zechariah 14. There'll be no more what? Canaanite in what? The house of the Lord of hosts. Who's the house? The church. That word Canaanite means there'll be no more peddlers, traffickers, or merchandisers. And there are people that wants to make merchandise of you, brethren. And you need to have discernment of that. Amen? Hallelujah. And we have all kind of gimmicks coming through the mail that wants to get us sucked into that thing. Hallelujah. We need discernment in the church, don't we? We need discernment within us that we don't get sucked into those things. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Okay. Well, of course, the tribulation is coming to get God's people together, you know. The devil will be attacking the church in the hour of tribulation. But in the day of wrath, God's wrath will come on the wicked. God's wrath, the Bible said, we are not. The church is not appointed to wrath. God's wrath will come upon the wicked, but not upon his people. But in the tribulation period coming, the enemy will be hitting the church and attacking the church, but God's going to allow it for a period of time. And it's going to drive God's people together. Amen? Now, how many know in the days of Noah, when that flood came, that was tribulation. But where was Noah? He was in the ark with his family, and he was on top of the thing. And the higher the waters got, the higher he went up. Amen? And as tribulation comes in, God is preparing us now to prepare for tribulation. Isn't that right? And what's God saying to us? You've got to get higher. Amen? Tribulation's going to force us up higher if we got any sense at all. Amen? But the wrath of God, when it comes, it's going to come on the wicked. Now, in the tribulation, there's going to be Christians who will die. Let's just face it. Let's be honest. Let's say what the Word says. There's going to be Christians die, but yet there's going to be a great multitude that's going to come out of great tribulation. Amen? It's what the Bible said. Praise the Lord. So we must prepare for tribulation. And of course, many are in tribulation today. It's not just out there. Already some of us are in some hot times. Isn't that right? So we're preparing now. We're being delivered now. We're being set free now. Because if we're not delivered when that time, the big stuff really comes in on us, how many know we're not able to stand? We've got to stand today, brethren. We've got to overcome today, and that'll help us overcome tomorrow. Amen? If we let Jesus come in us. So keep Jesus at the center of your focus. Hallelujah. Praise God. We love Him. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word today. We honor you and we bless you, and we realize, Lord, that you're sending forth your prophets, your apostles, your teachers, your shepherds, your evangelists into the church, Lord, to perfect the church. And God, I pray that this people, as well as myself, will be perfected, Lord. That we'll, Lord, submit to the ministries, those that you're raising up in this hour. And Lord, that we'll not fight anybody, but we'll love you, Lord, and love your people.
Hallelujah.
But Lord, we'll tell them the truth. And God, I just pray again today, you'll keep us from error, deception, that you'll keep us from pride. Father, if there's any pride in us, smite it, forgive us and cleanse us. And Lord God, we also pray that you'll help each one of us to see your word in a new light, and that we can divide it rightly and correctly and accurately, Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, again, we bless Lake Hamilton.
Yes,
we bless our brother and
Hallelujah.
Sister Miller. We bless, Lord, your people that's here. And we ask, Father, that again, that the light of God, the power of God, will overshadow this place today, that the angels of the Lord will encamp about here, Lord, and a mighty move shall break out, Lord, among us today, Lord, in the Spirit and among us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to pray for Brother Miller today, and I want some of the brethren to come with me. I want us to pray for his body again today. Some of you brethren, come up here, three or four or five of you, and let's ask God to touch our brother. How many appreciate Brother Miller, do you? Hey, let's give him a good hand. Amen. We appreciate our brother. We love him. Hallelujah. And I want us to lay hands on his body, and let's pray for his sickness here today. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. I say sickness, it's his stones. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father, we take dominion, Lord, over this condition. We rebuke it, Father, by the power of the living God. Lord, we ask you to pour your energy, your vigor, your vitality into him. We ask the healing balm of Christ to flow into him, Lord. We command this body, Lord. We command this body, Lord, to respond to the Holy Ghost. Ooh, let your healing virtue go into him, Lord. Jesus, touch him with your hand. Touch these stones. Dissolve them, Lord. Dissolve them, Father, by the power of the Holy Ghost, Lord. And preserve our brother, Lord. Preserve our brother, Lord. And God, visit our brother in a mighty way. Strengthen him, Lord. Father, lift off any heaviness off of him. Any weakness off of him, Lord God. Lord God, we just rebuke it. And speak strength to him, Father, by the power and the might of the Holy Ghost. And we bless him, Lord. We encourage him today, Lord. We ask you to minister to him, Father. Amen. And amen. Know that my son, the hand of the Lord is upon thee. And know that my vision shall be performed that I put within thee. And no weapon that's formed against you can prosper, saith the Lord. And know that thy feet shall walk many places and go many places. And thou shalt be led by the Lord thy God. For the Lord's eye is upon thee. Yea, he does behold thee. His ear is open to your cry. His heart is open, my son, for you to cry out unto him. For he shall surely hear thee. And in the day ahead, know that thy God shall bless, thy God shall edify. And in the ways and pathways that thou hast not been, he shall open up new truths to your heart, and thou shalt rejoice, and thou shalt know that it's God that does the work. For he shall bring understanding within thee. He shall bring words of knowledge and words of wisdom to your heart, and thou shalt not be one that will be deceived, because thou art surrounded by many, saith the Lord. And yea, know thou that I've heard their prayer, and I've seen the tears, even for thee, my son. And I send to thee this day that the Lord thy God is mighty in the midst of thee, and no weapon again that's formed against you is going to prosper, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to minister to one more. I want this sister in the black. Yes, ma'am. Come right. Yeah. I want to minister to you real quick before we. Hallelujah. Reach your hands out to her. Will you do it? Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Lift up thy countenance to the Lord. For the Lord is your high tower, and the Lord shall touch thee, and the Lord himself shall do a mighty work within thee. Yea, the Lord shall rebuke that oppression. The Lord shall rebuke that heaviness. And the Lord shall strengthen, the Lord shall guide, and the Lord shall lead. For the Lord does touch thy body today with his healing power and his virtue. So receive thou the touch and the hand of the Lord upon thy life, saith God. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise him. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God.
Darlene. Darlene, come over. Where's your husband? I didn't see him. I'm sorry. Come over here. Let us pray for you again. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Bill, come over and let's pray for him. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Oh, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we take authority over this condition of this body. I rebuke it in the name of the Lord. I command this body to become normal. I command this child to be normal in the name of Jesus. I command this body to carry this child into a normal time in Jesus' name. We rebuke every spirit of fear over this child and over this mother in the name of the Lord. There shall be a child that shall grow up to praise and magnify the Lord. He shall be taught of the Lord from his youth. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you for it.
In the
Jesus
name
of Jesus.
Yes, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for a husband and a father full of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
To nurture and bring up this and hit this family as a priest of the household.
Amen.
We praise you for the anointing and the power of the living God to flow through him for guidance and direction and wisdom with faith. And we bind every spirit of fear. We rebuke it in the name of the Lord. And we speak faith and life in Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for the food that's ready for our physical bodies. We thank you for making health and strength to us. Pray your anointing and blessing over us as we fellowship together. Then the anointing of the Lord to rest this afternoon as we come back at 2:30 for a time of teaching and deliverance. We may be a little cleaner today than we were yesterday. Walking before thee, Lord, in holiness and righteousness and the fear of the Lord.
Yes.
We thank you for it. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.